to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Sell me a space in the shadows. Let me live behind a locked door, surrounded by the sweetness of unspeculative silence. I care for the kind of quiet that doesn't guess, a lush loneliness, moonlight serenade of stillness. I'm sleeping in the dreams of somebody else tonight, littered with letters, sewn onto my skin because I stopped being convincing somewhere in the second act, according to some of my harshest critics. Now the stage is bare. I sleepwalk as the audience screams. So many crossed voices and contradictory phrases. All of the things I was supposed to be to all people spill around my shaking legs and I am submerged. Who am I? What am I? What I am is not ready. Is that an option? Can I find that on a form that I can fill in and pass to the furious crowd? Is that such a crime? Is there a set time in which I must be presented, center stage, ready to be torn to pieces with a smile? I'm not ready, but they are waiting. Sell me a space in the shadows. Let me live behind a locked door, surrounded by the sweetness of unspeculative silence. They storm the stage. Accusations and assumptions circling angry expressions, and all I can do is stumble towards the back of the bare stage, begging for mercy, because I am not ready, and I don't know what they want from me. But they are so hungry. I did not plan to watch Heartstopper on Netflix because it just did not look like the kind of thing that was for me. I pretty much entirely watch like horror content. Like I don't generally watch anything else. So apart from like political satire and cartoons. So I saw the trailer and I just thought, nah, this isn't for me, never mind. But one of my best friends badgered me and he was like, watch this, just watch it. It's what things should have been like for us. Just fucking watch it. And I was like, for God's sake. All right, fine. So I put it on and I very much enjoyed it, actually. And I had a good time with the show. I thought it was cute, it was nice. And I mean, it kind of made me nostalgic in the sense that I, you know, like my friend said, I kind of wish that had been how it was for me, you know, with things being a bit less insane, childhood wise, in terms of me and all my feels. So the reason I'm talking about this show is not because it's the show itself is not super related to what I just read, but somebody in the show is. So there is an actor called Kit Connor, who was one of the stars of Heartstopper. He's also been in lots of other things. I'm just looking it up now. He was in Rocket Man. I remember him now. Yeah, yeah. I fucking love Rocket Man, actually, because I love Elton John, because I have taste. he's been in Casualty. Bitch, I love Casualty. I've probably seen this boy in a lot of things, and I didn't know that it was him until now. But nevertheless, so Kit Connor has been much talked about over the last week. He's 18 years old, right? And I feel like some people don't realise that even when you're 18, and in some people's minds you're legally an adult, you still very much do not feel like that. And you're going to struggle with a lot of things. And he has been, because there have been a number of fans of the show that have been harassing him on social media, asking him to clarify about his sexuality, because the character he plays in the show is bisexual, I think. And so fans of the show were asking him to clarify on this. He was then accused of queerbaiting because he was photographed with a girl. And so they were like, oh, you're queerbaiting us because we thought that you were LGBT and now you're not because you're with a girl. And it was a whole thing. And this culminated in this boy, and I'm using the word boy here because he's just turned 18. He's a baby, right? This boy, he comes onto Twitter and honestly, like, it was such a sad thing, because so he tweeted back for a minute, because he had left Twitter because people were harassing him so much, and he did not want that shit in his life, and I don't blame him. So he said, back for a minute, I'm bi. Congrats on forcing an 18-year-old to out himself. I think some of you missed the point of the show. Bye. And I mean, he's right. He's right in many ways. I'm trying not to spoil the show for anyone that hasn't watched it and wants to, but one of the themes that is dealt with in the show is people being able to come out when they're ready, right? Because here's the thing, people will run around talking about how it's super easy to come out these days and there's no problems and everybody out, you know, just fucking come out, it's not hard. Fuck off, that's a lie as I can attest to. It's not easy. Everybody has a different journey towards it, and this idea that it's just a simple, easy thing you can do and it's all going to be fine and everybody's going to love and accept you is nonsense. You can never know a person's personal circumstances. They might have a different landscape to you, and it may be the case that actually it's not super safe for them to do so, or maybe they just don't feel that they can. Maybe they're still struggling to accept themselves. And this is turning into a rant already, and I didn't mean for it to. You know, and so there are a lot of people who, even after, like, you can tell from his tweet that he was distressed by this happening to him, and there were still some people in the replies like, oh, why are you making such a big deal out of it? It's fine. And it's like, well, it's not fine because he didn't feel ready and he didn't want to yet, and you've made him by relentlessly bullying this boy on social media for no reason. He didn't owe you shit. He was just living his life playing a character in a television show. So this hot girl. So a lot of people were accusing this boy of queer baiting, which does not even make sense. Okay, it does not. Right, if you don't know what queer baiting is, I'm gonna try and explain it, even though personally I've always felt it's a bit of an insane thing anyway. Like, even with its correct definition, it's a bit insane. So queer baiting is essentially when, like, a book or a film or a TV show has two, like, same-sex characters, and they will hint that they might be gay, they might be romantic, they might have feelings for each other, and then they just don't do it. Right? So the idea is that they do that to attract LGBT fans. And they basically build them up and tease them with this idea of, oh, you might get a little gay kiss coming up, and then it never happens, right? And so it was labeled as queer baiting. Famous examples of this would be Sherlock. I don't know if you watched that show. I did not watch that show, but I remember seeing just constant fucking queer baiting discourse about Sherlock on my Tumblr dashboard for ever. Basically, apparently, it seemed a little bit like Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman's characters in the show were sort of hinting at, like, a romantic relationship, and then it never happened, and so the fans were very upset by that. I'm looking on Wikipedia at this list. Two broke girls. God, what? Apparently Max and Caroline was queer, but no, it wasn't. They were both heterosexual women. They were friends. That was the point of the show. It's two friends that don't have no fucking cash. God, what? See, this is what I mean when I say it's insane. Glee, Rachel Berry and Quinn Fabray. No. Nah, see, listen, I was in the Glee fandom. I was there on the fucking front lines. The fucking Fabray fans made that shit up in their heads, okay? I have watched every episode of that show multiple times. I've watched the fucking live concert. I've listened to all the songs. They made that up in their heads. Okay, it's okay to ship Rachel and Quinn if you want to, but there was nothing written into the show to make you think that a romantic relationship between them was possible. There just wasn't. Okay, yes, Quinn is canonically bisexual, sure, I'll grant you that. Rachel, however, Rachel is a heterosexual. It was never gonna happen. It was never going to happen. They've made that up. I don't know what Riverdale is, so I can't comment on that. Line of Duty. Oh. Joanne Davison and Kate Fleming. Okay. They had that hot Scottish actress that's always in things, and I love her. She's very beautiful. That one, actually, I'll kind of grant you, because they were constantly showing, oh, look, they got, like, chemistry and shit. Mm-hmm, yeah. So, yeah, fair enough. I'll grant you that. But that's the only sane answer we've had so far. Stranger Things, Will Byers and Mike Wheeler. That's not queer baiting, though. That is just, you've got a character that is quite obviously gay, and this has been confirmed by a lot of people involved in the show, that Will is a little closeted boy in the 80s, which is, you know, normal. And Mike is his best friend that he's in love with. Like, that doesn't mean that girl, it's not queer baiting to show that sometimes gays get crushes on straight people. That's just a fact of life. That's just a girl. Anyway, there's something about Killing Eve. I keep being told to watch this and I don't want to. Apparently that was accused of it for a while. Okay. Supernatural. Oh God, not Supernatural. if you are a Tumblr veteran, you're gonna know exactly what I'm fucking talking about. So the relationship between Castiel and Dean. Yeah, fair enough, actually, fair enough. Especially with what happens after. I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to spoil it, but, you know. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Albus Dumbledore and Gellert Grindelwald. I mean, see, that one, kind of, but not really, because obviously, you know, J.K. Rowling has confirmed that something did happen between them. It's just that the filmmakers, I would assume, chose to not include it. I haven't seen the film, so I don't know, but I would assume that's what that is. Finn and Poe from Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. They were just friends. Men can be friends. What? Okay, listen. Listen, here's the thing. I think a lot of the whole queerbaiting discourse actually comes from people who are so desperate for representation that they cannot accept that sometimes people are just mates. Like, sometimes people are just friends, you know, and that's okay. So let's have a look at other examples. Katy Perry's song, I Kissed a Girl. I hate that song anyway, but she did later clarify that she actually is bisexual. So that's something we're going to go into in a second. So oy vey. So basically, a lot of the queerbaiting discourse can come down to two things, right? Three things, actually, let's say that. So number one, sometimes it is literally just something that the fans have imagined in their head. They've imagined, like, a relationship, for example, Quinn and Rachel on Glee, Max and Caroline on Two Broke Girls. I literally look for... you know, girls kissing girls everywhere. I did not see it in either of those places. Sometimes it is just fans being upset at the reality of life as an LGBT person, that sometimes you will have feelings for somebody and they will not have feelings for you because they literally can't, because they're straight, right? Such as Stranger Things. I guess Supernatural. I don't know though, because I haven't seen the latest season, so I don't know, but that could be it, maybe. And then in some cases it's people accused of queerbaiting, like Katy Perry, and now like Kit Connor, who literally just hadn't been able to come out yet. So They're trying to express something, maybe test the waters, or maybe, in Kit Connor's case, just literally doing their job and playing the character that he's been cast to play. And then everybody just fucking jumps on them until the point when they have to come out and say, you know what? All right, fine. Here's the fucking truth of my life. Thank you so much for making me say this when I wasn't ready to say this. And shit is damaging. I mean, there's a lot of discourse about, you know, who gets to play who. There's always a lot of shouting and screaming about, you know, whether LGBT characters should be played by actual LGBT people. And in a sense, I understand. Like, I understand, you know, especially for LGBT performers, it's probably quite frustrating when you are not getting opportunities because they're going to people who are not, you know, are not actually like those characters. And I understand that that's really frustrating. However, in the current landscape, right, you have to understand a lot of studios, a lot of, you know, producers are going to be mindful of this discourse, right? And it's obvious that an attempt is being made to meet those demands, right? I'm trying to talk reasonably to the community here, and I don't know how well it's going to go. For example, with Heartstopper as a show, I mean, I'm not like deep in the fandom or anything. I just literally watched the show once and thought it was good. But I've done a little research, and from what I could find, it was clarified when this discourse kicked off that characters were, you know, were portrayed by actors that had those experiences, those lived experiences, whatever you want to call it. So it was kind of already hinted at, like, you don't need to harass these actors to clarify anything, because we did not cast people who were not LGBT to play LGBT characters. So just leave them alone, let them do what they're doing, let them talk about it if they want to, and if they don't, leave them alone. But people still went after this kid. They still went after him to the point where he felt so pressured that he had to fucking clarify this shit before he was ready. Like, that's the most important point. It was before he was ready. And I understand that, like, a lot. I do. Because and I don't want anyone to feel like I'm mad, okay? Because, like, I am for the most part over it. You know, but I kind of had a similar experience. Obviously, given that my audience is probably a lot smaller than somebody who's literally just starred in a Netflix show, obviously. So there's a lot less pressure on me, you know, purely because I have, you know, less pressure, you know, less people talking about me, less people that care about my existence. However, there was still speculation from some people that engage with my content. And that was difficult for me to deal with. Obviously, because I was kind of struggling on my own anyway, like, that was hard. And then seeing other people, you know, talking about stuff, it just made me feel anxious, like, I'm not gonna lie. Let's have a look at some of the things that were said. Oh God. Oh no, see, this is nice actually. I'm going through and you know I look at this sometimes, so don't get mad at me for invading your space. I know that this is primarily a space for people that enjoy my content to talk and have their opinions, and I normally don't look here, but I kind of needed to because I need to use it to make my point. But this is nice actually. Unpopular opinion, but I hate when people try and encourage Jennifer to talk about coming out or her sexuality, because it's very obvious from things she has written and said before that it was a very painful journey for her and that she's still coming to terms with who she is. If she wants to talk about things, I'm always happy to hear it. But fans, God, don't. It's unbelievable that you guys call yourselves that. But okay, pushing her and acting like she has to or that she owes it to us is really unfair. Sensible. Oh, that's funny. I still think Jennifer is a lesbian. You don't write such conflicted things about your feelings for women if you're just bi. I mean, I suppose that's true. But you didn't need to say it, my dude. I mean, obviously, like, I can look back, right? I mean, that's the great thing about, like, all of my content mainly being, like, online shit. Like, I can look back and I can say, oh, girl, you really were fooling nobody. Oh, my God, everybody knew. Which, like, it's reassuring, but it makes me anxious at the same time. But in that moment when I was really kind of struggling, and it's like, I'm writing this down, I'm writing these things because if I don't, I'm literally going to lose my mind. But I'm hoping people don't read too much into it. I really can't handle this. And I will probably reach a point where I just tell everyone it was just like artistic expression and it was joking. And hey, maybe I get accused of queer baiting too. I don't know. But which I kind of have been at times. But I need to get this out because it's tearing me apart on the inside and I don't know how to handle this. And I want to just be open, but I literally can't. And, you know, a long time ago, the things that were the barriers kind of fell away, but I still had all the mental blocks. I still had all of the difficult feelings that I had inside that I needed to deal with. And I feel like, I don't know, it kind of made me feel even more anxious. Like, I don't know. Let's have a look at this. Oh God, the Jennifer is a lesbian truthers, that's a thing, okay, we'll always win because because our girl has atrocious taste in men and only ever seems happy in relationships with women. Accept it, Jennifer is a lesbian. My atrocious taste in men was very much by design, actually. So maybe they're right. Another win for the Jennifer is a lesbian fandom. So long, Leo, and thanks for all the fish. What the fuck. Oh my God. You see, it's funny to look back at these now, but this kind of stuff at the time, and you know, when people would leave comments on my social media or like DM me about this stuff, it was like literally I would be like anxious for like the rest of the day, like the whole day. Jennifer is definitely a lesbian in denial. I'm sorry to people who are upset and offended by that, male fans, but are they? Okay, but you can tell from how she talks about women, how she writes about women, and how tired and bored she sounds even when she's in a relationship with a man. Jennifer is Catholic, which is a very homophobic religion. True, but we're working on it. So she probably doesn't feel comfortable being completely open as a lesbian, but she is. Yikes. I knew she was a lesbian. So many of us did and were attacked, but we were right. Okay. I think people should calm down about the proof of Jennifer being a lesbian. She hasn't said anything official. She was just speculating and thinking out loud. Sure. Although that podcast, I know the one you're referring to. I did a podcast. But basically, let me tell you the story if you're new or you forgot. I was once again trying to get a boyfriend because I thought about coming out and then I got really anxious about it and decided, no, honey, that's not for you. So I was trying to get a boyfriend. I go on a date with this guy and he says to me, I need to tell you something. And I said, what? And he said, I think you're not looking for a man. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And he says, I think you're a lesbian. And I was like, excuse me, I must use the bathroom. And then I went and I cried in the toilet for ages. And then I cleaned myself up and I go back out and I act like nothing happened. I then went out with him again the next day. And again, I acted like nothing happened. But there was this kind of sadness in the air. Like he knew that nothing was going to happen because he was right. And I knew that the jig was up, because if a complete stranger can tell, everybody probably knows. So I'm freaking out. I then end up sending a voice note to my mum. And I say to her, can you just play this? Because I knew that she was going to be with all the family that day and I wasn't going to be there. So I said, just play it. She freaks out. She thinks, oh my God, are you sick? Are you dying? What's going on? And I'm like, did you get arrested? And I'm like, no, just play it. And she's like, you're making me really worried. Just tell me what it is. And so then I have to effectively tell her what's on the voice note over the phone, because she's panicking, I'm panicking, it's a whole mess. But before I sent that voice note, what I did, I effectively tested the waters. I recorded this podcast where I'm sat there and I'm speculating and I'm like, well, I don't know, I mean, I could be, but I really think that maybe I actually do like men and I'm completely capable of liking men. And I was sort of trying very hard to convince myself that it was all fine and I definitely was interested in men and it was all okay. But also, just in case that was not the case, it was kind of like a testing the waters, see if, you know, people get in touch and are very angry with me and don't want to, because I know that this sounds fucked up, but you know how my audience feels about me does kind of matter to my work, because I could be putting out the best shit ever, but if people don't like me anymore because I am what I am, then it's all kind of over, isn't it? So in a sense, I was kind of testing the waters and seeing if everyone was going to be angry with me. Well, you weren't, so thank you. But yeah, so that's what that podcast was. I can see there was a lot of talk about this. I am very happy for... I'm very happy for Jennifer. She's found a label that works for her. But as a cis man who is madly in love with her, my heart is broken. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Also, I don't know that, you know, the label works for me, because I am probably the most self-loathing lesbian on public record, actually. I hope, I hope Jennifer is happy with the girl, but I feel bad for her ex-boyfriends who are very publicly being told that she never loved them because she was a lesbian, all except for Capricorn, lol, he deserves the pain. Jesus! Okay, firstly, let me clarify on that. It's not so much that I didn't love them, I just didn't love them in the way that perhaps they expected. I very much cared for and felt great affection and love for pretty much everybody that I've been out with in my life, actually. You know, I mean, my plan up until this point was to never come out, in fact, and to live, you know, and marry a man and all that shenanigans. And if that's not love, I don't know what is, you know. but I, you know, I did love them all, you know. They were ideal friends that just happened to have feelings for me. And I was like, well, okay, fine. It's a good hiding place and you'll be happy and I'll be happy. And, you know, and the one thing that was always important to me was that it was a normal relationship, and I kept myself to the standards that I would expect for anybody to do for me. So, you know, I never, you know, I was never with anybody else while I was with them, and I always did my best to make them feel loved, and I hope that I achieved that. but I think it's a bit harsh to say that I never loved them, because I did, just not in the way that perhaps was expected of me. Even Capricorn, I know who you're talking about when you say that, by the way. I've figured out all your little codes and all your little names, and I know who you're talking about. And I did love him too. Oh no! Jennifer dating exclusively unattractive and problematic men. That is not true. I mean, just because they're not my type, obviously, but like, I think, you know, they were kind of the kind of guys that the girlies would like if the girlies were straight, right? I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask. Makes a lot more sense when you realize she's been a lesbian in denial this whole time. I don't think that's a fair statement. The post Jennifer wrote for National Coming Out Day was beautiful but so sad, knowing that she kept so much pain inside since she was a little girl, explained so much of her work. I hope one day she will be happy. I hope one day she will too. Oh god, I hate that people keep asking Jennifer to explain her sexuality. This fandom is so rude sometimes. Google is free. Google is free, but frankly, what you're going to find on Google is going to be really confusing. If people do want an explainer, there is actually one on my website, like, that goes through everything in great detail. So, you know, if you do want to know, then that's probably going to be a better bet than just Googling it, to be honest. Oh my God. Wow, okay. I love Jennifer so much. Thank you, I love you too. And I'll always be a fan, but does anyone else feel uncomfortable that she lied for so long about her sexuality? I know it's hard to come out, but she could have been a role model for the queer community all that time and she didn't do it. It's the only thing I've ever been disappointed in her for. Well, I'm so sorry to have disappointed you. If it helps, I was also uncomfortable while telling that lie for so long. So, you know, I suffered, if that makes you feel any better. Sorry. Wow. No, but like, I mean, in a sense, I understand what that person is saying. But what I would say is that, you know, I don't think anybody owes it to anybody to be a role model for any community, really. Like, I don't think that we do. And you know what? Like, I wouldn't have been a good role model because I fucking despise myself. So, what am I going to do? Teach all the young lesbians to hate themselves? Come on, man. Come on. I wish Jennifer Wan was a lesbian instead of bisexual. Wish granted, darling. Did you manifest this? Is it your fault? Can I blame you? Oh, this is interesting. Oh my God. Okay, this one isn't specifically about me, but it's interesting. I think Corita was a lesbian. I know in the end of the story she's linked to an athlete, but it never says what gender they are. Corita being a lesbian would explain why she finds even the most basic affection from Damien to be distressing, because he can't accept her sexuality and she finds his attention stifling, not only because he's an obsessed fan, but also because he's obsessed with her being straight when she isn't. And she feels he is enforcing a sexuality on her that isn't true to who she is. Damien is trying to rewrite who Corita is through his blog because he can't accept that he will never have a shot with his celebrity crush, not because she's a celebrity, but because she's a lesbian. He obsesses over his fictional blog because he can't accept that even if Corita wasn't a celebrity, she wouldn't be interested because she's a lesbian. Jennifer has written quite a few canon queer characters, so I think it's definitely possible. That is really fucking interesting as a theory. See, that's not the case. Like, I didn't write her. I mean, to be frank, Corita's sexuality is never mentioned because it's not super relevant to the story. But but that's a really interesting theory. I kind of like that more than than what's in the original story, actually. Shout out to that person. Jennifer's poetry about her relationships with women always seem to be a lot more gentle, whereas the ones about men are often violent and dramatic. I'm I'm not trying to second guess her sexuality or police her sexuality, but I do feel like Jennifer might not be bisexual and might actually be a lesbian who is in denial about her sexuality. It would make a lot of sense as to why she felt afraid of coming out at first, and how her relationships with women seem a lot more healthy than her relationships with men.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I feel like one of the things as well, actually, when it comes to my writing, because I am aware that some people will look into it and they'll be, you know, curious, and they want to know, you know, what it means and all that, and they'll look for clues and things like that. However, I feel like it's important to note that my writing style when it comes to poetry is very, like, high drama. It's very kind of dramatic and surreal and ridiculous and a bit camp. So, you know, I'm just saying. That's something to bear in mind. I'm pretty sure Jennifer had a girlfriend during the spring of 2019. She wrote lots of LGBT focused poetry then, with a lot of it about WLW. Okay. And she wrote White Wine then too. Yes, I did. Wait, you guys thought that was a thing? God, not this. I'm not reading that out, but that's really funny. But also troubling for me. In many, many ways. Oh my God. So, look, I understand, okay, when you are interested in someone and you want to know things and you care, I understand. I do. Believe me, I do. However, it's not as easy as many people think to be open. Girl, not this. I just scrolled down. I'm scrolling down. There's one here that just says, I hope Jennifer is okay. She seemed a bit unstable lately. Is it any wonder? These brats, these horrible brats I raised. I'm kidding. But you know, it's hard enough when you're struggling with something. But then to have people asking all these questions and making these assumptions and just getting you all fucked up, it's very, very difficult. And I understand why. I understand why it happens, but I don't know, I think we should chill. You know, I'm talking from my own personal experience, which obviously is going to be a lot less than what Kit Connor got and had to deal with. Like, I cannot imagine what he went through. It must have been so hard for him, and I really, really sympathise, and I hope that he is doing well, and I hope he has people around him to look after him, because it's really hard. It really is. I think people should chill out. Do you know what I mean? Because is your life really affected if you don't know what someone's sexual orientation is? Does it really affect your life all that much? I don't think that it does. So I guess I guess what I would say is just everyone fucking chill out and be nice, okay? Because life is fucking hard. It's fucking hard, all right? So just fucking chill out and be nice to each other. Do you know what I mean? Let's all do that and we can have nice times. Let's all do that and we'll have nice times and we'll all be very, very happy.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever, with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top tier patron supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna,